Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary. It's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, November 25th, Thankful Tuesday. What are you thankful for on this Thanksgiving week? Are you thankful for your family, maybe for some friends, some good food, the opportunity we have to celebrate together? I hope in this season that the Lord reminds you of the little things that you're thankful for. For me, this week I was watching McFarland USA, and the boys in the movie have never seen the ocean, and their coach takes them to see the ocean, and it's a beautiful scene. And I thought, man, I take for granted that I can go to the ocean every year. I'm thankful, Lord, for the opportunities I have to travel and to have vacation. Skip Benton is also thankful. He's thankful to be a part of a church that can do something like the Thanksgiving meal, something that is unique and difficult and special. Skip, I thank the Lord with you for that as well. We had a wonderful time together as a body of believers. Before we get into the scriptures, let's go over our memory verse, 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Today's readings are Isaiah chapter 64, Acts 27, 33 through 44, and Psalm 135, verses 5 and 6. We are going to finish the book of Isaiah, well, our excerpts from the book of Isaiah, and the book of Acts at the end of the week. Coming this Sunday, we'll start our Advent devotional guide here on the podcast. You're in for a real treat. Different readers, whoever wrote the daily devotional, will read the scripture and then they'll offer their devotional thoughts. I can't wait for you to hear all the different talented writers and readers in our church. If you're listening in and you want a physical copy of the Advent devotional guide, let me know and we can mail you one if you're not living in town so that you can follow along with the book. Let's turn over to Isaiah 64. In this passage, the people long for the Lord to come and to make himself known to them. They want to see his presence and feel his mercy. They are confessing their sin, they acknowledge God as creator and father, and they ask him to restore. So let's read this together. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins, we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us. And you made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. Your holy cities have become a wilderness. Zion has become a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation, our holy and beautiful house where our fathers praised you has been burned by fire, and all our pleasant places have become ruins. Will you restrain yourself at these things, O Lord? Will you keep silent and afflict us so terribly? Before I move on, just a few little notes about this passage. I want to go back to verse 4. From of old, no one has heard nor perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God beside you who acts for those who wait on him. This is quoted by Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:9, if you want to look there. I've seen waiting in Isaiah and in the Psalms a lot in recent days. As we wait on the Lord, may we trust him, may we love him, and may we know that he is at work even when we cannot understand or conceive. On this Thankful Tuesday, we're moving on over to Acts 27. We'll be in verses 33 through 44. Do you remember the context here? Paul's on the boat headed to Rome, and the seas are crazy. The ship has been battered, and they didn't eat for 14 days. And then Paul said, I've seen a vision, or I've been visited by an angel who told me we're going to make it, and everyone on board will be saved. So I'm going to start in verse 33, and we're going to see about the shipwreck today. As day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, "This is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. For not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then they all were encouraged and ate some food themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. Now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach, on which they planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. Then hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a reef, they ran the vessel aground. The bow struck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and to make for the land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. Again, this is such a crazy story. You can't make it up. The centurion decides, no, I want to save Paul. And he kept them from carrying out his plan. And everyone who could swim had to swim to shore. It seems like a movie. The rest go on planks or pieces of the ship. And ultimately, Paul's going to make it to Rome. It's an exciting story. I couldn't believe how many persons were on the ship. Do you remember how many I said? 276. So a lot of men who were probably being taught the gospel by Paul. Verse 35 just sticks out. And when he had said these things about the food, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. That's convicting. Sometimes we just hurry through the blessing. I can imagine how stressed Paul must have been in that moment. And yet, he stopped. He remembered to give thanks. And then they ate. Let's finish up today with Psalm 135, verses 5 and 6. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. Thank you for listening along. Will you pray with me? Holy Father, we thank you for your word, which reminds us that you didn't give up on the Israelites. You didn't give up on Paul. You won't give up on us. Thank you, Lord, for all your provision, especially for your forgiveness of sin. We want to thank you this moment for someone that you bring to mind. We lift to you our hearts, praising you for something that you have given us. And Lord, we thank you for somewhere that we have sensed your goodness or your presence. Bless my brothers and sisters this week. Make us keenly aware of the gifts that you give us, from the smallest to the greatest, today and every day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.